And joining us on the weekend this weekend is Bob Bielek. Bob is the district engineer for the Texas DOT, Texas Department of Transportation. And we're here to talk about, some of the things that we all see as we drive to and from work, if we take the bus, whatever. You see a lot of construction going on the interstate, and a lot of times you go by and you go, wow, I haven't been here in a long time, and look what popped up all of a sudden. What just didn't pop all of a sudden, as we're going to talk a little bit about that. Bob, thank you very much for being with us here today.
It's my pleasure.
Now, tell us a little bit about, as a district engineer, what is your job?
Well, my job is to manage the planning, design, construction, and maintenance of the state system within the six western counties of Texas: El Paso, Culberson, Hudspeth, Jeff Davis, Presidio, and Brewster counties. It's about 22,000 square miles, and I typically tell people that if you took my home state of Pennsylvania and drew an east-west line through the center, either side of that is the same size as this district.
And a lot of people aren't, who have never been outside of Texas don't realize just how big Texas is. And then other states like New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island are, they'll fit in our state. But people may wonder about, okay, what is the difference between interstate highway, just a highway, or the roads that you all are involved in?
Well, the state system includes the interstate system. It includes the state highway system. For example, Thruton, Alameda, Mesa, and portions of Doniphan are all part of State Highway 20. And then we have a farm-to-market road system. A lot of people don't know that Zaragoza is farm-to-market road 659. So the farm-to-market system, the state highway system, the interstate system, Loop 375, Spur 601, they are all part of the state system, and that's what my job is, to construct and maintain those.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the program before, that a lot of people may have noticed as they're coming into work or leaving work, and some of them are saying, what's going on here? We didn't used to have traffic jams, and all of a sudden you see some bottlenecks, and then sometimes you'll go, wow, it's really nice here. But one of the concerns I think that people may have or want to know, actually, and it's not a concern, they want to know what's going on as far as the heading west and why that lane is usually closed. Not all the time, but it's closed for a reason, obviously.
Well, what's happening on I-10 itself from Executive Center West is what's called the GO-10 project. It was originally called the Collector Distributor Lane Project or the CD Lane Project. And what happens is that here in El Paso, we have the only section of interstate within the state of Texas where we don't have frontage roads. From Mesa to Copia Street, there are no frontage roads, which means that if we're doing maintenance, if there's an incident, we can't move people off the interstate onto the frontage roads and then bring them back on. So it's very difficult to manage traffic. The CD Lane project, or the GO-10 project, will close part of that gap. It'll close the gap from Mesa to Executive Center. Now, the CD lanes are a little bit different than regular frontage roads. They will be limited access facilities. There won't be any businesses, curb cuts on those CD lanes. There'll be relatively high-speed roadways. All of the interface with the local street system will be with the CD lanes and not with the main lanes on I-10, so that when it's finished, we'll have four lanes on I-10 in each direction. But they won't carry all of the traffic because a lot of our local traffic will be on the CD lanes themselves. If you live on the west side and you have to go from Mesa to Sunland Park, you won't ever have to get onto I-10. You'll be able to take the CD lanes and get there just as quickly because they will move just as fast as the main lanes. And what that will allow is the traffic coming through town or traffic coming from New Mexico, for example, and going to downtown El Paso, we'll be able to move through with far less delay, far less backup than exists today. It's just getting there that is a problem.
I mentioned backup, and I think we're spoiled here in El Paso because for so long we just got on and off the freeway and just took it for granted. But as, you know, with progress, of course, you have to work at different things. And as our coaches used to tell us in high school, no pain, no gain. And sometimes you have to go through some pain. At least we think it's pain, but it's not. And one of the questions that we get sometimes is, why is it in the afternoon, especially during 4 or 5 hour, that the traffic is backed up heading east?
Well, part of the reason traffic backs up heading east on I-10 is the hill. People don't maintain speed going up the hill, so that when you're full of traffic, or like today when we have a barrier on the outside and there's a barrier very close to the travel way, people tend to slow down a little bit, and they slow down going up the hill anyway. So when you have people who are coming in from New Mexico who still want to drive 75 into a 60-mile-an-hour zone, and then by the time people are going uphill and they let another 5 miles or 7 miles bleed off their speed, it accordions back through the system, and that's why you end up with that kind of backup, particularly eastbound.
Some people will wonder about the what you just talked about as far as the backup and the fact that, it's almost like they see the warning signs and there are plenty of them saying right lane, close the head, and they'll stay on that lane until the very end, and then they'll try and sneak into traffic, and sometimes they can't do it.
Well, everybody wants to get one or two spaces ahead of where they would be if they merged in naturally. That's just typical of drivers. You see that the country over. It's unfortunate because what happens when they slide in at the last second and force their way in, the person behind them has to step on the brakes. And when that person steps on the brakes, everybody behind him is stepping on the brakes, and you go back 10 or 15 cars and you're at a standstill. So that's some of what's the problem is out there when you have construction. But we close lanes to keep people safe, both drivers and workers. And we have a lot of workmen out there. I think on the GO10 project, they'll probably have 200 to 300 people out there when it really gets going. So we're trying to keep them safe.
Some of the programs are going on simultaneously. Would you mind telling us about that?
Sure. Well, the two big programs that are going on the west side are the GO10 project. That is the CD lane project that runs from Mesa to Executive Center. And as I said, we'll be adding collector distributor lanes on the outside of I-10. We'll be adding a lane to I-10. We'll be replacing a number of the bridges. Actually, we're going to be affecting 29 bridges in total. But we'll be replacing the two direct connects, the one from Wrestler and the one from Sunderland Park, because now they'll tie into the collector-distributor lanes. We'll be replacing the old connections with US 85 or Paisano in Sunderland Park, and we'll be taking out the bridge to nowhere, aside from widening some others. The other big project on the west side is the Border West Expressway. Now, the Border West Expressway is designed to complete the loop, Loop 375, around town. And that runs essentially from Racetrack to just a little bit east of Park Street downtown. Now, these two projects connect. They physically connect. And what happens is that the old connections don't work any longer because instead of connecting an interstate highway with an arterial street, we're connecting an interstate highway with another expressway. And that means that the speeds on that connection are going to be higher. So we have to flatten out the horizontal curves, make them gentler. We have to take the vertical curves, make them a little gentler so people can drive safely at a higher speed, which means that the old bridges are all in the wrong place. So we'll be rebuilding those bridges. That's a $600 million project. It will probably be finished first or about the same time as the GO10 project. And then we're doing another small project on the west side, and that is simply providing a bridge and a path for cyclists, hikers, and animals under Trans Mountain at the Tom Mays entrance to Franklin Mountain State Park. Now, that project will be finished on the surface at least, by the end of the year, because we'll start to feel the real pain from the GO-10 project and the Border West Expressway project when we work on the connection in the Sunderland Park area after Christmas of this year.
Does TxDOT have anything to do with some of the go-rounds? Some people like them, and some people get confused by them. And in some instances, people don't follow the traffic rules. And as far as yielding, they tend to just keep going, and sometimes possibility of accidents there.
Well, we've built most of the true roundabouts in the state, including all three here on the campus, the two roundabouts at the intersection of Paisano and Alameda on the east side. And you're right, people, it takes a while for people to learn how to drive them. People have to remember that the folks who are in the roundabout have the right of way. People entering the roundabout don't have the right of way. You merge in, and the thing about roundabouts, particularly multi-lane roundabouts, is to pick the lane that you're in when you're approaching. If you know that you're going to be going off to the left, you want to be in that left lane. If you're going straight, you can be in either lane. If you're going to go right, you want to be in the right lane. And if you make that decision ahead of time, it's usually fairly easy. But the important thing about roundabouts, not only have we seen a huge decrease in the number of accidents, for example, over at Paisano and Alameda where that intersection was, we were averaging 62 accidents a year at that intersection. Since that roundabout has been open, there have only been a half dozen accidents in that intersection. And the accidents that do occur in a roundabout tend to be fairly minor accidents because they're side swipes. The cars aren't at 90 degrees to one another, so they hit at a very flat angle, and you don't have the kinds of injury accidents or fatal accidents in roundabouts that you have in normal intersections.
Tell us a little bit about, you mentioned earlier, collector-distributor lanes. What do those mean? Could you define those for us?
Sure. A collector-distributor lane is a roadway that collects traffic from the local system and distributes it onto the main lanes or back to the local system. It's a limited access facility. We don't have driveway cuts. You don't have businesses along it. So it's just like a small expressway on the side. And what it does is that because the speed on the collector-distributor lane and the main lanes is almost the same, it makes merging very, very simple if you're merging onto the main lanes because you're going at the speed that folks are on the main lanes when you do the merge. So people actually learn how to merge properly, and the people who have the right-of-way are the people who are already on the main lanes. The merging car is obligated to match speeds, find a hole, and move in. So that's a lot easier. The difference between the collector-distributor lanes and frontage roads, as we have throughout most of El Paso, is that frontage roads have all of those businesses. They have the curb cuts. They have the driveways. So you have a lot of traffic moving in and out of those roadways, making higher speed operations a lot more difficult. That doesn't occur on the CD lanes, and that's the main difference.
What about you all do a very good job of, having alerts on the web page and, radio stations. They deliver, of course, the messages that you all bring to us. But sometimes people just don't listen to the radio or they forget and they're on. So what are some of the alternative routes that you all have on your web page and that when should people check those or listen to reports?
Well, the best thing that people can do is when it's possible, get into the webpage, the go10elpaso.com, and they can see when there are going to be closures or there are going to be lane reductions. And when that occurs, it's important to look for alternatives. And the alternatives, the basic alternatives today are Trans Mountain and Mesa. To go from east to west. And it really depends on whether you're closer to Trans Mountain or to Mesa. The city has gone out and synchronized the traffic signals on Mesa. So traffic, if you've noticed, if you hold the speed limit, You can get from I-10 over where it runs into Mesa, over on the west side to Schuster, and you won't stop more than twice. And you'll be able to get through most of those lights green. And we've reached an agreement with the city that that's the way they're going to manage the lights on Mesa. After the end of the year, we'll be connecting Donovan directly to Paisano, so that you will have another alternative where we'd be able to take Donovan, connect directly into Paisano, which is being constructed today as part of the Border West Expressway project. And you'll be able to get around the construction on I-10 or around I-10 using that method. And obviously the other alternate is Trans Mountain.
What about as far as completion, some projects, when some projects are going to be ready for, transportation? And I guess what I'm trying to ask is if the listener is right now wondering, well, when is this going to be over? Or and it's really ongoing because depends on, what we do. We just have to keep going and going and going. But as far as light at the end of the tunnel that some people might want.
Well, the light at the end of the tunnel could be a train coming at us. But sometime between the third quarter of 2018 and about the middle of 2019, the big projects will complete and we'll have those in operation. But people have to understand that I-10 itself is a 60-year-old highway. A lot of the bridges are 60 years old. They were designed for 72,000-pound trucks when we have 80,000-pound trucks on them. The maximum expected traffic was 100,000 vehicles a day, and we're running over 200,000 vehicles a day now with double the percentage of trucks that was ever thought. So once we get these projects completed, get the loop completed, the next task will be going in and trying to do something with I-10 to bring it up to the standards that it needs to meet. It's the main avenue of commerce for Texas from the lower west coast, from the ports at San Diego, Long Beach, L.A., and the economic centers in L.A., Phoenix, and Tucson. And we need to do something with I-10 to make sure that it isn't dangerous for folks and that it carries the traffic that it needs to carry for commerce in Texas.
As we head into summer, although in El Paso it always seems like it's summer, what are some of the changes that people may start noticing? And one of the things that we talked about before the program started is the fact that there had been some traffic closed off, but that was done for a purpose. And right around now is when that's going to shift.
Right, and they're going to notice that change on the hill north of Executive Center and down into Sunland Park. During the day from 9 to 4, right now, that inside lane is closed, and the reason for that is that we're repairing that median barrier. Originally, that barrier is going to be replaced, so we hadn't planned on repairing it. Because the original plan was to shrink I-10 down to two lanes in each direction instead of three. Well, it turns out that it makes more sense for us to try to keep three lanes open. So what we're doing now is repairing that barrier so that we can shift the traffic to the center. So people are going to see that shift where the center was open and a shoulder there. They'll now be driving on that shoulder as they move to the inside so that we can do the work on the outside.
What are the things that people may have noticed as they're driving, and this is not as anything related to more lanes or opening of ramps and off-ramps, on-ramps, but the fact that they see how pretty those bridges look, especially when you're going downtown and you see the name of the street right on the underpass, overpass. Tell us a little bit about some of those things.
Well, the city has impressed on us that sometimes we can provide infrastructure that doesn't have to look utilitarian. So we've partnered in a couple of cases, and the downtown bridges are one of them where we've partnered with the city to go out and spend a little bit of money to make infrastructure look a little bit better, put a little better face on El Paso as people pass through. A lot of that was done in the Spaghetti Bowl over on the east side. We did a lot of it in the downtown area, in the Spur 1966 bridge that leads here into the campus. Is a better looking bridge than most, and it really doesn't cost a great deal of additional money to make an infrastructure facility look halfway decent. Our biggest concern, particularly when we talk about landscaping, because we always get questions about landscaping, is that we're in the desert. So to the extent that we can utilize native plants that don't require a lot of water, that don't require a lot of maintenance, they can brighten up a roadway quite a bit. And we're doing an awful lot of that on I-10 on the east side right now. If you've driven there lately at near America's Interchange, where we just opened the additional lane.
I was going to say that there are many of us who are creatures of habit, and we kind of just stay around the area where we live. And as I mentioned before the program started, that we had to go off to the east side for some reason. And you see all of these different changes. But at the same time, people, myself included, don't realize just how easier it's gotten to go to the east side with the Loop 375. And the fact that it may look like you're going the wrong way if you're not sure of yourself, but everything, you know, all roads lead to somewhere.
Well, that's true. And a lot of people who haven't gone to the east side haven't noticed that we've expanded from three lanes to four lanes now, from Viscount all the way out to Zaragoza. And what it's done is it has reduced the backups and made travel on the interstate an awful lot easier on the east side. So hopefully we're going to bring some of that to the west side with these projects.
So the work that is being done as you're exiting Trans Mountain, coming off the mountain from northeast, tell us a little bit about some of that work in that area.
Well, you're speaking about the work at the entrance to Tom Mays?
Yes.
What happened there was when Trans Mountain West was constructed, a lot of the environmentalists were concerned about travel from one side of Trans Mountain to the other, because Trans Mountain does split the park. And when it was a two-lane road, it was fairly easy to get across. But now it's four-lane divided. And we talked about an interchange there. But in discussions with those folks, the real objective was to get hikers, cyclists, and animals from one side of Trans Mountain to the other safely. So what we're doing out there now is building a short-span bridge that'll have a 15-foot gravel path through it for hikers and cyclists. Most of it will be natural surfaced, and we're going to put in some wildlife fencing to try to funnel wildlife through that in both directions, so that we have a lot fewer wildlife killed on Trans Mountain itself. Plus, we'll be able to give a path for hikers and cyclists so they don't have to try to cross Trans Mountain either. Now, we're building those bridges by excavating out the abutments and placing the beams essentially at grade so that we can get the deck on very quickly and get traffic back on those roadways, because we want to get traffic in both directions on Trans Mountain operating normally by the end of the year. So it is a good alternative when we get into the difficulties on I-10 next year.
When people are driving, I-10 going westbound, sometimes they can see all the construction that's going on with those new condominiums, the townhomes, and the movie theater. At some point, you all are going to connect one of those roads to go into that area. Is that without having to get onto the freeway? Is that what the Border West Expressway is part of? Also,
well, actually, it's more what the CD lanes are part of. They will do that. The Border West Expressway is simply to get people around town when we're working on I-10 or when there's an incident on I-10, particularly through that depressed section in downtown.
Signs that we see as we're driving along the interstate, those are also letting us know as far as like lane closures and everything else, and people need to pay attention to those.
Right. The VMS signs, the variable message signing, keep an eye on that. One of the things that we're trying to do is to If you've noticed recently, we put some travel times up there. We put Bluetooth readers on a lot of those stations so we can tell how fast people are going. That way we can calculate the time that it takes to get to various locations. And you'll see that on those signs very often, too, which will help you make decisions. Eventually, as you're coming in from New Mexico, you'll be able to take a look, and it will tell you if you want to go through El Paso on I-10, it'll take you X number of minutes, and if you want to take Transmontane, it'll take you Y number of minutes. So you can make your choice before you get to Transmontane. So we're doing a lot of that to try to give drivers more information so they can make better decisions.
What about the construction workers? Because as we know, it can be brutally hot in the summer in El Paso. What are the decisions that you all make as far as doing work at night or working during the day?
Well, it would be better for the workers if we allowed them to work at night, but it's not safe. It's a lot more difficult to keep the workers and the drivers safe at night than it is during the daytime. So our contractors work very hard at keeping their people hydrated, and we work very hard at putting positive barrier out to keep drivers away from workers and to save drivers, because people don't understand that if people killed in work zones, over 80% of the people killed are drivers who are driving through those work zones. But it's particularly important to us here in El Paso. We've had five people killed in the last 4 years, one a TxDOT employee and four contractor employees who have been killed. Of those, three of those five were at night. So one was because the driver fell asleep. Another was because the driver was inebriated. So those are the kinds of things that we have to take into account when we set up work zones, when we decide when we're going to do work, when it's safe to do it at night. There's some work we can do at night where we can completely barrier off the work zone. But for a lot of the work that we do, people are exposed to traffic. They're separated by barrels. And barrels don't stop a car.
Bob, give us the web address that people can find out more information in case we forgot to mention something.
Sure. It's www.gogo10elpaso.com.
The number 10?
The number 10, correct. They can also get that information by calling the recorded line, which is 1-844-373-GO-10, which I believe is 4610 on your, I was going to say dial, but then I'm an old fart. So, you know, that's not push button.
Thank you so much for being with us. We've been visiting with Bob Bielek. He is the district engineer for the GO-10 and Border West Expressway programs that are happening here in the El Paso area. Again, thank you very much for being with us here today and also for explaining some of these situations.
It's been my pleasure.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas and Eddie Rosales. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sainz.